near your ear and so forth, that this is what gives you the state of well-being. But it either can or can't. And individuals can be grossly inefficient. An individual can get himself boxed into a situation, as I was trying to describe before, where for one reason or another he has come to believe that trying to get out of that box would cause him so much unhappiness, so much mental discomfort, real tangible uneasiness up here, that he absolutely will not face it, and he will accept something that is almost as bad, but to him not quite as bad. And he doesn't get any well-being out of the situation. Day and night, he's in a constant state of anxiety and unpleasantness and discomfort mentally. He is not happy, whether he is there because he wants to be or not. He is not happy. And when we talk about decision-making, we're talking about ways of making decisions that will derive a greater dose of well-being, long-term or short, but a greater dose of well-being than the kind of decisions that are being made in the absence of the particular formula that is presented as being a productive one. It is an attempt to get a greater return of well-being, positive, tangible well-being, for the resources expended. And I can't take the attitude then that anybody who's doing anything is doing something because it makes him happy. He is doing it because he wants to. And I don't know. I can't walk in and say, turn around and do something different. It'll make you happier. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm not going to take the attitude that whatever the individual wants or does is what brings him happiness. And the individual who, one more thing, establishes his long, elaborate plan, I've said this before, but it applies here, gets to the end of the goal sometimes, even after experiencing the increments along the way, in anticipation, the progress reports that tell him, my gosh, I'm getting closer and closer, and boy, when I get there, I'm going to be in nirvana, and it's going to be constant and complete. No, that isn't nirvana. What is the state of constant and complete well-being? At any rate, when I get there, utopia? Yeah, okay. That's on the other side of Van Nuys. When I get there, I'm going to have this great, wonderful state of well-being, and he goes through all of this, getting small doses along the way because he is convinced that this is getting him that closer. And he gets there and there's nothing. It's exactly what he worked for, and he gets there and it's absolutely blah, discomfort. Now, you can't say that it was an efficient decision on his part. If he could have found a way of getting more for the resources he had put in all this time, he can look back and say thanks for the small doses of well-being along the way, but it's still, I can look back now and say that I would be experiencing greater happiness now, greater well-being, if I had undertook another course of action.
I quite agree with the way you're looking in one sense, but I see many possible levels of happiness depending on the individual you're talking about. I see some people, for example, the people I would seek to associate with, that I would think would have a capacity for a much higher level of happiness than some fellow that I might have a very low opinion of. It might be a flowery bum or what have you, but I'm sure that when he gets enough of that stuff in it, he has a very great feeling of well being, if you will, defined as his happiness, whether it be LSD or whether it be this. Maybe a bit of this wine, probably cheaper variety, and so on. But it's a question, it seems to me, of the level of happiness that's attainable for that particular individual that I was on. And I still stick with the dynamics approach to the thing. I see the final value as, well, for example, not a very good example, possibly, because I think that one can have far higher goals than his own, for example, a Rolls Royce. But he might anticipate owning a Rolls Royce for 5 years, working for it, get a great deal of satisfaction out of working for this particular well-being, which he's going to have when he has the Rolls Royce. But once he gets it, once he drives it for his time, and so on, he's past the peak as far as his car is concerned.
I would say because he has made an inefficient decision, he had expected greater well-being from the owning of the Rolls Royce than he will really get. Now, you can attribute that to the fact that you can, I feel, would be looking at only part of it to say that this is proof that the chase is greater than the reward. But I think it's only because the reward was not properly selected in the first place. Not that a Rolls Royce would be automatically a bad reward, but for this fellow that you're hypothecating, it was. He could have chosen something else that was within his capability, that when he got there, the happiness would have been greater than any.